Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
A little after 5 o'clock here at Fenway Park. Fans are starting to trickle in for Happy Clinch Day at Fenway Park. Fingers crossed. Did you notice, Bradfo, real quick, did you notice that he ended real negative? He said, we'll all be up at 1 o'clock waiting for the Astros to lose to clinch. Bradfo thinks that was a shot.
That was a shot.
Like, yep. It didn't really totally register at the time, but if you win your game, you don't give a rat's katukis what the Astros do.
That was odd. I'm not sure. He wants a mulligan on that one?
I didn't care for that negativity, Mr. Bradford.
Yeah.
Yes, Dan.
Go ahead, Fitzy. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say it seemed very anti-Bradfo, almost like this like he knows something or some grim reality set in. We have sort of overlooked the fact that the Tigers kind of have something to play for this weekend too. They shouldn't just roll in and play Patsy over the weekend, guys.
Oh no, I don't think that they're going to play Patsy, but you're supposed to be a good team at home. And I know actually of late, it's kind of flip-flopped. You've been inverted. You've been better on the road than you have been at home. But I'm looking for Kyle Harrison to go out there and pitch well and them to get the job done and get some champagne and get your ski goggles and do whatever the hell you want to do and spray somebody with something and have fun.
You know what's kind of interesting about this matchup, don't you? The two managers?
Yeah. Man, no, you're going to tell me.
Yeah, they both were in Houston in 2017.
Oh, geez, it always goes back to Houston. Actually, you know what's
one wrong? Was the manager and one was the bench coach.
Well, you know who the third base coach is of the Tigers?
Who's that?
That Alex is Cora's Alex brother. Cora's brother. I bet you they had breakfast this morning.
Well, if we're just all sharing facts that are super interesting, I might as well throw another one in there. Alex Cora, maybe we were banking on the wrong top prospect returning in October because Cora said that Marcelo Meyer is making a push to be available later in the postseason. He's out of the brace and already doing baseball activities, and there is video evidence on the field from today to prove it.
Oh, wow.
No one saw that coming.
Just a quick tying stories together. What were we talking about, speaking of stories, prior to the break? There's a certain shortstop who seems to have bordered on
Trevor
having the
Story.
Yips. Yep. Trevor Story can't throw to first base.
Oh, really? Oh, put Marcelo Meyer in there. Sure.
What position does Marcelo Meyer play?
Shortstop, ultimately.
Interesting. Who's the future shortstop of the
Marcelo
Red Sox?
Marcelo Meyer.
Who once had a nice postseason run as a young infielder. He was at third base, not shortstop. Ended up a shortstop. I believe that was Xander Bogaerts. I see a little tale of postseason success coming together. And you know that allows Trevor Story to do?
What? DH?
DH. Watch.
Oh, yeah.
And then you know what happens? I turn my back on Yoshida, and I like a different lineup with Marcelo Meyer out there.
There it is. Wow. And the wind current has blown back around.
I was just going to say, more often than the weather or the traffic patterns in this city. Unreal.
Yeah, the MVP, probably the MVP of the team, Trevor Story. Let's put him to DH. That's a good idea.
Well,
that's
smart. I'd like him to every once in a while throw to first base and reach and, you know, make a good throw.
Smokes.
I'm just saying, it's 5 o'clock.
Let's
it's
trade
time
him
for
Derrick Henry.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. In the left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, to kick things off on The Drive here, we're going to continue this little exercise we were doing. Areas of the Red Sox you feel best about heading into the postseason. We've all agreed. The poll voters did not agree, but we've all agreed that it's the manager. Bradfo said it. I think Ted gave a confidence level of 8. Fitzy was a 9. I was a 10. We love the manager. We kind of go the other way when it comes to the lineup. I think Fitzy was a five. Ted was a six. I was a four. But if you put Marcelo Meyer in there, maybe I can bump that up to a five. Let's go to the bullpen, which I think is similar to the next category we'll get to, which would be starting pitching. If I just said the bullpen only included two innings and you only had to get Chapman and Whitlock out there.
Ten.
But it doesn't. It'll probably, especially in games two and three, if you get that far, with Bayo and Giolito pitching the way they have been pitching, you're going to have, I don't know, the fifth inning, the sixth inning, the seventh inning to deal with. Fitzy, I'll start with you. Level of confidence in the totality of the bullpen.
Joe Castiglione's favorite number to say out loud and in drop form on our radio station. Seven! It'd be a 10, but sometimes it drops to a three or a four. So I would say a seven. Some nights, hey, Wilson comes through. Some nights, Slayton has the hook. And some nights, everybody is just throwing BP and pouring gas and kerosene on the fire. So I'm gonna give him a seven, and I want it to trend upward.
Ted, before you give your number, I thought it was interesting. Bradfo said you'd like it to be Tolley, I think is how he phrased it. Do you think there's still a lot of roles that are very much up in the air with three games to go? I mean, your fourth game moving forward will be a playoff game. You have three more against the Tigers here at Fenway, then you're going on the road for the playoffs on Tuesday. Are we still trying to figure out if Tolley could, I don't know, get an off-speed pitch between now and Tuesday?
I was going to say, that'd be something if he could, because he's got to find another pitch.
Something. He's throwing 100 in the strike zone. I don't know what else you can do there.
Andy, you would think that at this point, it would pretty much be locked and sealed, and you know what you – but, you know, baseball's a weird thing. I don't know. So I would say there's probably still some wiggle room, and it's probably not totally in concrete. So I'm going to agree with Fitzy. I'm going to give it a 7 because the middle relievers, I don't have a lot of faith in. Of course, the end of, you know, the closer and the setup guy, I have a ton of confidence, so it balances out. So I'm also seeing overall for the bullpen a 7.
I'll go with an 8. I'll be a little bit more optimistic because at least in game one, the vision I'm trying to have is you won't need those other guys. That you'll just get Crochet, gets you to Whitlock. Maybe you don't even need Whitlock. Just write to Chapman. Boom. You win. Game over. Figure out.
I wish I lived in your world. That happy. Joy,
you'd hit
joy.
Your head on the doorways a lot. It's a different sized world, so you wouldn't like it. Let's get to the starting pitching. Where do we feel about the starting pitching? That Crochet, a couple days ago, awesome. Giolito and Bayo, not so great. Fitzy.
Starting pitching is also a firm 7. Oof. And I think obviously it's a 15.5 for Crochet all day. But the way that Giolito can't get through 4 2/3 these days, walking too many guys, and then Bayo is as hot and cold as the bathroom sink. I can't figure out which version of him is going to step in. He still finishes with a career best ERA this season, but none of us have liked the way he's trended recently. So maybe some of these other starters will help out the bullpen. Maybe that number should have gone higher, but I'm going to stick with a 7 because it's going to be Crochet and then, you know, pray for rain or that the bats come alive.
Teddy?
6. I'm a little bit, look, Crochet's beast. I mean, my gosh, so over 200 innings pitched, the lowest ERA he's ever had. It's unbelievable, but I don't trust the other guys. I don't. So, I wish I'd seen them finish stronger than they have. It's a long season for both those guys, and they're being tested in ways they haven't been in a long time. I don't have a lot of faith in pitchers number 2 and 3, so it's going to knock my score down to a 6.
Yeah, I'm a 6, too, and I am going to lean on the guy I gave a 10 to overcome that, and that's Alex Cora. And he's kind of got to overcome the back end of the starting pitching rotation and the back end, front end, of the bullpen. The instincts, the guts, I saw something in, maybe that's Tolley. Maybe that's legitimately a Tolley situation, right? I saw something in Tolley or early today at breakfast. He was getting bacon and the pig in his eye was what I saw, and you put him out. I don't know. But he's going to have some of those.
I love the stories that come out of these playoffs, yes, with stuff like that.
Yes, but you're going to have to because it is not buttoned up. Although, I will say, and that puts the rankings in clear order for us. I think if I'm reading my numbers right, we feel better about the bullpen than I thought, better about the manager than almost anything, and the lineup and the starting pitching have us concerned. But I go back to, if they take care of business tonight, and it's all now you can do whatever you want. They have TBD starting on Sunday. You know what that means? Giolito, you're not starting. Giolito, get rested. Giolito, we need the best of you next week in the series. But then you're talking about Garrett Crochet. I'm where I was all along on that. Because of Crochet and what he's been, he gives you that chance. You get that one win, now you just got to find one more. Steal it, run into it, let the other team give it away. You know, something crazy happens, whatever it may be. And I know that's a lot of pressure on Garrett Crochet, who'll be making. Dan Ball, could you check how many postseason starts has Garrett Crochet made?
Starts zero. He has appeared, but he hasn't.
Yeah, I know. He hasn't started. So postseason starts, this will be his first, potentially game one Tuesday at, I don't know, have we settled in on anything? New York, Yankee Stadium, or Toronto, Rogers Center?
Does it matter?
Have we simplified anything? Have we streamlined anything? Or is there an ice cream headache still happening?
Oh, big time headache. Okay. Absolutely, yeah.
So,
yeah, he's sitting in any stadium, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. but that's where you are. You're counting on him again to be kind of what he was the other day in Toronto, right? Like we said that, Will Fleming, we played the audio, like the biggest game of his career or biggest game of the season, whatever it is, which was great, but that only lasts a week. And now I need your next biggest game of the season to lead things off on Tuesday, right?
And he delivered. He delivered in the biggest game.
Yep.
That was the really cool part is he's just lived up to everything and then some. So, I don't know, Bayo, just let's go, bud. Let's go, Giolito. Let's go, man. We need you.
I want to work in a phone call here before we get to a couple other aspects of the drive. Ed in Maine has an interesting question. What's up, Ed?
Hey, guys. How are you? Great show as usual. I'm just curious, who's the personality of this team? I mean, look, they're all great players, right? There's a reason why only 800 guys can play this game. But when they get to the next level, someone's got to knock the little shakes out of their knees. They always had a Kevin Millar or a Pedro and Ortiz or a Bill Lee going back. Who can do that with this team? I mean, even if it was a coach, like they had Butterfield, you know, famously from Maine coaching. I mean, he was always a guy to keep someone loose. But I don't know the answer. I've been listening and watching the last 159, and I don't know who that is.
I love this
question.
Thanks
for the call, Ed.
I love this question.
Oh, boy.
Because I don't know if there's a clear answer.
Oh.
I mean, I would say, you know what I think? And I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm going to throw up in my mouth. But I think Roman Anthony was I think he was
the young guns.
I think he was the straw that stirred the drink. And I think he brought out leadership qualities in Trevor and in Bregman.
Finally landed together.
Look, Jaren Duran, he doesn't have confidence in his game fully to be that guy. Bregman either. Trevor Story's booted six errors here in the last seven games, so he's not that guy. I think it's a good. And the rest are kind of just role players. So there isn't really like that big authoritative kind of presence in the locker room.
Dan Ball.
It's kind of been most of the season, at least when they've been winning, it's been the power of friendship where it's not the one or two different leaders from a vibes perspective. It's just been, oh, everybody loves each other. They have the Wally helmet and it's just kind of the entire group meshes. But there is not, Fitzy, one or two guy that has really been that vibe tone setter, for lack of a better term.
No, it is actually, if anything, it's kind of fluctuated throughout the course of the season, you know, and I guess that's the wave we're going to have to ride. And we'll see, maybe just maybe a different leader emerges in the postseason. Maybe it's just, maybe it becomes Crochet. Maybe it just becomes bear down and strike him out. Who knows?
Remember the famous closer by committee? Can you have personality by committee?
That's literally it. Oh,
but
that's
you know what? You know where the personality is? You just said it right there. Chapman. Chapman's the personality. When he gets out there and he starts throwing heat and everyone, I think, vibes off of. I mean, I know it's hard for a closer, but a badass closer.
Oh, I don't. When he does that little finishes and then just stares and stands there.
Dude,
like,
and he's all
that's a thing. Yeah, absolutely. That's a thing. And if you get the vision that I'm trying to have talk into existence, manifest, and you get Crochet and Chapman, that helps you have personality, courage. Like, that will inject life in the others.
Dude, that Crochet's personality. So, yeah.
Right.
I think the pitchers, those two guys.
And you know why they can do it consistently? Because they've played well consistently. Maybe the reason the personality feels like it ebbed and flowed is your theory, Ted. Yeah. It's hard to lead when you're not doing well. So it can't be Story right now. Oh, yeah, you're going to tell me what to do? Yeah. You know what I should tell you to do? Go take some ground balls. Right? Like, that inconsistency of line. Duran. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to tell me what to do? Why don't you go strike out three times to lead off the lineup for us here?
Yep.
So maybe it is sort of Fitzy, like personality by committee here for the Red Sox.
I actually really, really, really like that phrase. I like that. Leadership
by T-shirts, you printing them later? Just give me a six-pack and we'll call it even. Your personality by committee.
IP buyout. Okay, cool.
The other option before we get to a couple of Patriots aspects here, heading into a big game for them, not playoff big, but, you know, early season defining type big.
It is a big game.
It absolutely a big game. Is the personality could also be the person we talked to last Wednesday who promised he would talk to us this coming Wednesday. He said it, right? Talking is the job of the Boston Red Sox manager. So he can set a tone for a team that maybe is lacking. Other teams, yeah, you let Millar do it. I'll be in the office, you just let Millar, or Dustin Pedroia, right? Didn't they say with John Farrell, Dustin Pedroia, or one of them told him, don't come out of the office, we'll handle everything? Mm-hmm. Like, this is not that team. Alex Cora, come out of the office, mingle in the clubhouse, set a tone, say some things, but I would put him as a possibility of sort of the personality of the baseball team heading into the postseason.
I think so. He'd probably rather not have that role, but if he feels he needs to be that guy, he will stand up and be that guy, is my feeling.
All right, so we talked to our buddy Mike Giardi earlier today, and he sounded a little fitsy in his analysis of this game. What does that mean, Andy? Well, listen, and you'll figure it out.
How do you feel like this defense for the Patriots matches up against that Carolina offense?
This is a game that you should eat, right? Like, I mean, I'm in this. They should open up a can of whoop-ass and deliver it. Coming off the disappointing loss, the way it went down, you know, when you control, you know, 85% of that game against Pittsburgh. Carolina's coming off this win that when you actually looked at how the offense played in that game, they didn't really have much to do with it. It was more about their defense and the way Atlanta just kind of threw up on themselves in that contest. So, like, to me, this is a you got to eat, and it starts with those guys up front. They're missing their two of their best offensive linemen. Two of their interior guys are out there on IR. Like, so Milton Williams, Christian Barmore, Kyrus Tonga, who's been low-key awesome.
Yeah, he has.
Yep. Those guys need to eat, and if they do, then I think you're going to get what I kind of predicted, which is the can of whoop ass.
So Mike's wearing his Patriots footy pajamas while he's doing the interview.
A little bit there, very much Fitzy Foxborough fanboy Mike Giardi there that we got today. But if this is going to – so he thinks the can of whoop ass is going to start on the defensive side of the ball. That mm-hmm. you can have your way with that front. You're going to get after Bryce Young and everything.
Worst offense they've played against.
What about the flip side? Is this a get-right game, a can of whoop-ass for Drake May, Travion Henderson? Can they get right on that side of the ball and put together complementary whoop-ass game down at Gillette?
Well, there's the strength of the Carolina Panthers is their pass defense.
Yep.
Okay, and that is kind of believe it or not, that's more of a strength than the running game. The Patriots' running game is putrid. And the rushing defense for Carolina's rushing defense is putrid. So something's got to give to me in the passing game or the running game. I mean, they're both kind of equal in those two categories. So it's kind of there's a lot of kind of evenness in these two teams playing against each other.
That's not good.
Yeah, it's the something's got to give bowl, Ted. I mean, we've gone over this, but it still blows my mind. Panthers 2-17 in their last 19 on the road. Pats 3-16 in their last 19 at home. I mean, just cover this game in glory and drink as many Bud Lights as you possibly can. And I really think I do. Everything sets up, plus that little extra emotional boost that I was talking about in the 3 o'clock hour. I think the Patriots go out and put in an extra emotional effort for their defensive coordinator, who we learned, unfortunately, has a prostate cancer diagnosis. And just every extra factor points towards the Patriots being able to get an early lead, drive it home, and then right a few wrongs so that they feel good leaving September with the old Chuck Woolery, 2-2.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like. You just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
Let me just something to take note of. The Carolina Panthers defense, they are eighth in points allowed.
Yeah.
You go, that's pretty good right there. I mean,
they had a shutout last week.
At the end of the day, you go, okay, what's the most important thing? Points. So, yeah. And they're seventh in red zone. So they are the proverbial bend but don't break defense. So you can move on the ball on them, but you get down to the red zone. That's when they tighten up. They keep you out. The Patriots red zone offense, it's just middle of the pack. So, keeping teams out of the end zone ultimately is the testament of how good your defense is. And so the Carolina defense has some advantages in that category, that situation, That was our 0-1 defense. We were the proverbial bend but don't break. You could kind of move the ball between the 20s, but once you got in the red zone, we buttoned down, and so we kept teams off the board by being a really good red zone defense, and that's what Carolina has.
Earlier, Ted told us that the key to the game was going to be able to stay balanced, run the ball on offense. We got an update from Mike Vrabel. There's not going to be official discipline, quote-unquote, for Ramondre Stevenson after two fumbles. He will be active in play because he's not going to bench Drake May.
But he's not going to start, I bet. That's punishment.
And therefore, the key to this game, Ted Johnson, is one single rookie player, and we asked Josh McDaniels about him. What can Travion Henderson do to make better use of what opportunities he gets?
I'm not discouraged with Travion at all. I think Travion's also, you know, learning each time he goes out there. I've had a lot of different backs, you know, in their first year, you know, and the production is, you know, it comes, you know, when it's time to come. You know what I mean? And the reality is they're learning as they go. Each week's a different challenge for them. They're preparing for NFL opponents for the first time. This will be his fourth opportunity to do so. There's a lot that goes into being ready to do a lot of different things well on game day. And Travion works really hard. He's very diligent about his preparation. We know he has talent, you know, and it's a matter of continuing to improve and make progress. So I'm excited about what Travion's going to do for a long time here, and, you know, eager to continue to work with him and help him get there.
I'm setting the number at 90.5 yards from scrimmage. Fitzy, what are you taking?
Overall for Travion Henderson?
Yep, 90.5 yards from scrimmage.
I'm going to go with the under, but I am going to give him his first. I am going to give him his first touchdown.
Okay, Ted, if I set that number, Travion Henderson, 90 yards combined rushing and receiving.
I'll say over.
I'm taking the over too, Ted. I feel the optimism. Whoop-ass time.
I feel a lot of screens. I feel a lot of draws. I feel a lot of wheel routes. I feel a lot of seam routes. And I feel a lot of handoffs to Travion because, let's face it, Ramondre is not going to get the snaps that he was been getting. So that means Travion's going to have a bigger workload. So I'm going to say over.
So here's my theory. Last week, he was worried about fumbling. He saw the two guys ahead of him fumble. He gets more opportunities. I think he had 11 carries, 2.5 yards per carry. I think he was considering one and one thing only. Hold on to the damn football.
Spit the seed.
Exactly. I think this week he was coached, listen, we brought you here to make plays. We know you're explosive. He's too explosive to not have some big plays. Yeah. He will have big plays.
He needs to get going.
Absolutely.
Can get going.
This is the game he gets going at home. I think the crowd is, remember the kickoff return? Crowd fell in love. Crowd is going to fall back in love in Foxborough with Travion Henderson.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Anderson. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's our favorite time of the week where we expose ourselves to sometimes our lack of knowledge, picking games across the NFL. It's Pick Six times here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
You know, there's two things I really like to do, and that's whoop ass and look good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.